Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. In Canada, the focus of the anger that has grown since the grim discovery of the remains of 215 Indigenous children on the site of a former residential school in Kamloops, British Columbia, has now turned to the country's colonial-era statues. In particular, those monuments that commemorate figures who were considered the architects of Canada's residential school system in the 19th century. Monocle's Toronto bureau chief, Thomas Lewis, went to the site of one of the most divisive of these statues in downtown Toronto for this week's Tall Story.
I'm standing on the campus of Ryerson University here in downtown Toronto, and I'm standing in front of the statue of the man after whom this university is named, Egerton Ryerson. He was a reformer of public education in Ontario in the 19th century, and he was also an architect of Canada's residential school system, which was run by successive federal governments and religious institutions for more than a century. It was a system that was intended to anglicise Indigenous children by eroding their native languages and their cultures, by removing them from their families. It's a system that was described as having carried out cultural genocide against Indigenous children in Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission report, which was published back in 2016. And I've come here because this statue and the man it depicts have become a focal point for the anger, the grief, and the disbelief that has swept across Canada since the grim discovery of the remains of 215 Indigenous children in unmarked graves on the grounds of a former residential school in the city of Kamloops in British Columbia in Western Canada. Now, this isn't the first time that calls for this statue to be taken down have been made, but those calls are sharper now, and the statue, as I look at it now, is covered in the marks of protest. Ryerson's face has been daubed in red paint, and red has also been streaked down his torso, down along the front of his waistcoat. The palm of the statue's outstretched right hand has also symbolically been splattered with red. And around the stone plinth on which Ryerson's statue stands are words and numbers spray painted, most starkly the words, "Dig them up," in reference to the remains of Indigenous children that have been found so far, and the numbers 215 to reflect the number of remains detected in Kamloops. Most poignantly, around the base of the plinth are dozens of pairs of children's shoes. There are toddlers' Wellington boots, small pairs of trainers, and pairs of babies' booties. And just a moment ago, a woman with two young girls holding her hands came up and added their own pair of children's shoes to this memorial, deeply symbolic of those children, perhaps many thousands of them, that were taken away from their families and who never returned home. Memorials like the shoes that I'm looking at now have appeared in public spaces right across the country, but the fact that these pairs of shoes have been placed here, at the base of the statue of Egerton Ryerson in Toronto, are where they are arguably at their most powerful, at the foot of the man who, in the eyes of many, created a system that took their children away from them, in too many cases, forever. Well, a few days after I visited the statue of Egerton Ryerson on the campus of Ryerson University, a rally took place in downtown Toronto to mark once again the discovery in Kamloops and to reiterate calls for justice and reconciliation. And after weaving its way through the city, the march ended its course at the statue of Egerton Ryerson. At some point during the gathering, a rope was attached, one end to a pickup truck, the other end looped around the head of the statue, and it was, once and for all, pulled down. The The statue was then taken to Toronto Harbour and thrown into the waters of Lake Ontario.
The statue is down and won't be replaced. Egerton Ryerson no longer standing on the campus that bears his name.
The school now considering next steps. Ryerson is known as an architect of Canada's residential school system. CTV's Scott Lightfoot is live on the campus with more. Scott.
Well, Nathan, all day people have been stopping by here, some to take photos, some for a moment of reflection. We've actually seen a few people climb up on that pedestal where the statue once was. You know, people have been calling for Ryerson to take this statue down for years. In the end, it only took demonstrators a couple of minutes to do exactly that.
Ryerson University has said that it won't be replacing the statue or restoring what's left of it. And focus has now swung to the university's name. Pressure is now mounting on the institution to remove Ryerson from its title entirely, something that activists have called for many, many years. The university says that a task force has been set up to examine how renaming the university might be brought about.
I don't want this to just be, you know, picked up moment by moment. I would like this to be a sustainable thing where we see change at the institutional level, to take away the name, to take away the statue, and have a larger conversation about colonial violence and white supremacy in this country and start undoing those mechanisms.
All that remains of the statue of Egerton Ryerson now is its stone plinth, covered in the spray-painted words of protest and of anger and of pain that capture this turning point the discovery in Kamloops has brought about. It's unclear at this stage what will happen to this remnant of the statue. There are those that argue that physical remnants of history cannot and should not be erased or hidden from view, no matter how painful or visceral those chapters of history are to a present-day audience. Because turning our gaze the other way doesn't ensure justice for the very real wrongs that were committed in the past. But context matters, and the legacy of the statue of Egerton Ryerson might therefore be most accurately conveyed in one of Canada's national museums. The plinth taken away and importantly kept as it is, covered in its spray-painted words of protest and preserved there for years to come. In that setting, it would speak most clearly of Canada's many conflicting truths, the dark, lingering chapters of its colonial past. But also, it would capture a potent and powerful snapshot of this turning point in the long fight for justice from the innumerable damages that that system wrought on Canada's Indigenous populations.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. And our thanks to Thomas Lewis for today's episode. Remember to tune in on Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, City Lovers.